If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Texas won a football game yesterday. Rockets won Sunday. You too? I forgot.
Never. With.
Lots going on in the NFL, lots going on in college football. What a beautiful day, huh? This is why we live in Houston, for this one day of the year that we have. It is gorgeous, Joe.
It's awesome.
Joe, as assistant program director, why don't we have the option to do a show outside? We should be like in the parking lot, just doing a show.
I mean, there's the Commerce out there if you want to go sit outside.
Doesn't Chicago do a radio show outside? Like the ESPN affiliate out there, don't they have like a...
option to do it or all the time?
No, like they had a studio that looks out to, or is on a patio that's actually outdoors.
They have a studio that faces State Street.
Okay, like we know it's State Street.
It's across the Chicago Theater.
Appreciate that.
It's the busiest street in Chicago.
That's not Michigan Avenue?
It's the second busiest street in Chicago. Great correction. Let's go. You got me good.
Let's go. What a way to start the show.
I almost dropped an F-bomb there.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have been good.
I think you got to turn into car, Joe.
That was tough. Look, it's been 11 years, guys.
I'm more Chicago than Chicago Joe. Oh, man, that is great. What is greater, that or the Houston Texans winning a football game yesterday?
The Cougs.
It's always fun to win.
Cougs are on a roll, baby. 8-2, number one in the nation, by the way, in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped Purdue today, which I'm not really sure why, but they did.
But they
go
did.
Cougs.
They did. They jumped them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be number one at the end of the year than right now, but hey, we'll take it. I like weeks at number one. It's fun. It's fodder. It's a little bit of scoreboard, but... Houston Texans win this football game yesterday. I know that there was only a 1.5% chance at a juncture of that game yesterday for the Houston Texans to win. Whatever, though. The Texans defense, I thought, dominated this football game. Offensively, you had your struggles up until the fourth quarter, but it was a game that you had to win, and Davis Mills, for the moment, saved the season, Joe.
Yeah, he absolutely did. He came through when it mattered most, and I'm with you. The defense played really well in this game. From start to finish, they were given some short field positions that helped out, you know, Jacksonville out quite a bit. But Davis Mills was coming through in the clutch in the fourth quarter. His receivers were playing really well, and tight ends in the fourth quarter making big-time plays. This game was collectively, I'm shocked they won.
Shocked? From what point? Like, are you shocked that they won
fourth quarter
when the game
started?
Kicked off? Or,
no,
okay, during the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texans continue to win or at least cover the spread when I bet against them. So
every week.
I might have to do it for
just
the city.
Take the L.
Yeah.
Make sure when
random foot mouth remains undefeated.
It does remain undefeated. I might have to just do it for the city, Joe.
Yeah.
For the city.
When we do the fix, like just start trying to get 2 wins elsewhere.
Did I do that?
No.
Oh.
One and two.
Yeah, one win.
But make sure
that you lose the Texans game every week.
Yeah.
Bet against them.
Look, I thought that they could win the game going into the game, but I never felt like they were going to win the game until Davis Mills crossed the goal line. I never felt – I mean, obviously, you get off to the bad start. Don't expect it there. It's 17-0 early second quarter. You never expect it there. It's 29-10 going into the fourth quarter. You never expect it there. You know, you start to chip away at the lead. Like, okay, it's becoming more likely. It's becoming more possible. I actually did not feel like they were going to win the game until Davis Mills scored that touchdown. I take it back. I felt like they were going to win the game when it was first and goal at the 2. But then whenever they got the false start and backed it up 5 yards, it was like, well, that's game over.
And then they got another one, right?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
They got backed up twice in that situation.
I was like, game over. Yeah. As soon as you got that penalty, I was like, okay, well, that there goes any hope. I thought that the Texans were going to win that football game.
Yeah, you just don't think that really. It's this isn't even a Davis Mills thing. I don't think you would think any quarterback typically would be down by 19 points going into the fourth quarter and say, hey, this team's going to win. The Broncos did not think they were going to do that to the New York Giants a handful of weeks ago when they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. No one should have thought the Texans were going to win this game yesterday. And even J.J. Watt was not trying to put the nail in the coffin during the game because he kept trying to leave the door open just a tiny little bit. And, well, he did, and they won. It felt improbable until you're right, until they scored, really. And, and those penalties could have been killers. Like it felt like that might have been the lead story of the day. Like those penalties might have ruined your season.
There have been a lot of lead stories. I always find it fascinating, the narrative following a win versus a loss. Because, like Davis Mills doesn't get into the end zone there, right? Like, let's just assume that for a second. Runs it in. Let's say for a moment they don't win the game. They don't complete the comeback. Jacksonville clings and holds on to a narrow victory after having a 19-point lead. All the negative that we'd be talking about right now would be through the roof. Like, season's over. Because you would be three back of Jacksonville. Like, that's how important yesterday's game was as a swing game. You would be three games back of the playoffs, and you would not have the tiebreaker, which, as we all know, ties are worth. Like, a tiebreaker is worth half a game because you have to climb over them. And I think that would have been the nail in the coffin. But you win the game. There's no, tiebreaker at the moment. Obviously, there are other tiebreakers, but it's not head-to-head. You feel like there's some momentum. You have Tennessee Titans coming up this weekend in Nashville. So, you're like, oh, that should be a win. Now you're 5-5. The pendulum that was swung by winning that football game yesterday was vast. It was a massive divide. And if they don't, score there, they don't win the game, we're talking about so many things. We're talking about the season being over. We're talking about Nick Caserio being fired. We're talking about Nick Caley being fired. We're talking about the dumpster fire that is this offensive line and the configuration of this offensive line. And we'll get to this stuff probably tomorrow. Don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. But we got to enjoy victory every now and then. But the list goes on and on. Like, that's not even talking about the defensive side of the ball, although I thought the defense played really well. We're still talking about the Christian Kirk usage over Jalen Noel, even though Noel was more productive. So because of one play, we don't have all of that negative chatter for at least a little bit. We'll eventually get to it because we like to be negative Nancys around here.
It's also it's fair, a lot of the negative stuff, too.
Like, but it's fair. It Why isn't it being talked about today?
Because it doesn't matter.
I disagree. It doesn't matter.
Today, all that matters is that you won. Your season's alive.
For the Texans, perspective, sure. But, why would DeMeco be crushed after a loss for some of these decisions but not asked about them after a win?
Well, that's a different – now, see.
That's what I'm talking about with the narrative.
Yeah, he should still be asked about them.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but DeMeco likes positivity, so the media is listening to him.
It's crazy, though. It's like one play swings the entire game, and it's like all of the negative stuff is forgotten. Yeah. If Davis Mills doesn't get into the end zone, then all that negativity is the first thing's being talked about, and all the other stuff is pushed to the back and is never asked.
It's all forgotten.
Like, DeMeco Ryans was not asked about the offensive line configuration yesterday in his post-game press conference. He was asked about it today in a very nice way, but how do you not ask him about the offensive line configuration yesterday?
Yeah, especially because at one point, I look up at the game, who are these people?
Yeah,
Who is the So guy? Never heard of him in my life.
I remember whenever they signed him, it was like, oh, okay, he's a practice squad guy. And then all of a sudden, he's starting in an NFL football game. I'd forgotten about him.
Yeah, so it's
City
it's
Snow.
Asked about that yesterday.
I thought it was a typo at first.
I did too. I was like, what is that guy in
City
this moment?
And he got benched after 9 plays too.
Yeah.
Which is like,
why was he starting?
What are you doing there, guys?
Like, 9 plays is your window
to
prove
yourself? That's
what
I'm talking about. Like, the dysfunction of the offensive line, but it's forgotten about because you won a game.
Yeah.
But, it's just hilarious to me, the narratives.
Are there props on how many snaps random offensive linemen will take?
great question.
Yeah. They're betting it on Underdog, of course. Promo code Killer B, KILLERB. $100 is yours if you put in your first $5 deposit. It's not Jared Patterson. Like, he's your starting left guard. Like, it's crazy. But again, it's the whole narrative. It's what kind of sound you want to have with the team, the tenor you want to have with the team, and it swings too much based on win and loss. Mm-hmm. Like, they lose a game. What's your identity? You have no DNA. You win a game. Oh, you're great. Which boxer did you pull motivation from? One play swung the game. Why is it so different?
It's not. It shouldn't be different at all.
It cracks me up.
Yeah, but I just, I, it's just, Davis Mills getting that win yesterday, it's so improbable. The throws he was making, because he's still making a lot of bad throws. Even as they're trying to come back into the game, he's making throws like, that doesn't look good. But then they just keep finding a way to move the ball down the field and with the penalties there at the end. That's a miracle win. Like that is to where you talk about, I think, a culture still within the team. It is, that does stand out to me. Like that you have this team that didn't just fold over and quit on their head coach. You don't like that take, huh?
You know why, though?
I just got an eye roll.
It's because of their leader.
Never.
Not that
quit.
Leader.
So no, Davis, they run through the wall for Cal.
If Davis Mills doesn't get into the end zone on that final drive, are you talking about their great positive culture today, Joe?
I mean, I'm not talking about it, but it's still there.
One play that swung the game, admittedly, swung the game. No, does that swings your culture all of a sudden?
No, I would probably get to it like on Thursday.
How about if you didn't have an illegal hands in the face on Will Anderson and Little comes in and bangs in a 55-yarder for the win? Are we talking about their tremendous culture today? This is the comedy that I find by the narrative.
But it's true.
I think that we put way, and I know this is going to sound stupid, I think we put way too much value in winning and losing.
I feel like we need to clip that.
Way too much value in one play. They have a tremendous culture. They allow a field goal there. We're talking about how D'Amico Ryans is the worst leader in the NFL. One play, it swings the entire pendulum on the story about the Texans.
They could have.
I don't disagree with you, by the way.
But I'm saying more like they could have rolled over and died and lost 50-0.
Sure,
in this game.
But like, I think that actually speaks to D'Amico's culture and leadership. Yeah. But I've never wavered off of D'Amico's culture and leadership, or other people have. That's why I find this. That's why I find it comedic, is because like the Texans lose a game. D'Amico Ryans is a terrible NFL head coach, and like we're wondering if he should be fired and they should bring in an offensive mind. And then they hang in a game and then maybe get a little bit lucky and win it. Like, credit to them, tip your cap. You won a football game, it's hard to do in the NFL. We're talking about how great the culture is.
Yeah.
Was it any different last week when they lost? No, it was the exact same. This is what I'm saying. Like, the Texans, and I think D'Amico is great at this, because I think I do think that D'Amico is one of the better leaders in the NFL. I do think D'Amico is a culture builder. He won back-to-back division titles after they had won 11 games the previous 3 years, and I think we underrate leadership and culture building from the head coaching position, and I think we overrate scheme. And X's, and they can go hire a good schemer. He's given up defensive play calling, and Matt Burke has been tremendous.
He's been great.
He's been really, really good. So did the Texans' culture change in the spans where they were winning and losing?
No.
Or did our opinion of the Texans change in the wins that they were winning and losing?
Yeah, our opinions.
Bingo.
But.
And that's what I find funny.
Great culture win. Now, obviously, how many of these I could just drop in the show and piss you off?
They really don't make me mad. I find them funny.
Yeah.
I mock the narrative. I mock the story. The Texans are exactly who they were a week ago, and they let them off the hook. They're exactly who they were. But it's the story.
They are who we thought they were.
It's the narrative that changes. It's what people want to deliver that changes. Look, the Texans played good yesterday. Like, the special teams was terrible. How come we're not asking Frank Ross about the identity of his special teams? You only do it after losses. It's the same across the board.
I mean, when he meets with the media, there should be a lot of questions about it. I have a lot of questions for Frank Ross.
And by the time that he does meet with the media, the euphoria of winning will wane. So he will be asked those questions.
My first note, like on my notes I was taking during the game, is about special teams.
Okay, what is the note?
Why do they keep changing kick returners?
Like, they have a rotation of guys.
Who does that? And it clearly doesn't work.
I think because more than you think.
None of them are good at it.
That's not true.
Pierce
isn't
nothing.
Good. Pierce is a healthy and active a lot of games, though.
I know. Like, why are we rotating all these guys out there? They're fumbling.
I thought Braxton Berrios was dancing through some lanes.
He did okay.
I thought he was dancing through some stars.
I don't know why they went away from Nolan and Berrios, though. Why are we throwing a defensive back out
there? That's what I'm
saying. He's been out there, but he's immediately
in from the game. He's actually out there before, though.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, nowadays, with the new dynamic kickoff rule, you're using two, and you're making the best guess of which direction it's going to go. So you're putting your best returner where your best guess of the direction is going to go. But if they throw a curveball on you, then it's going to go to the other guy. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Smith has been the other guy all year.
Has he? Yeah. I just never remember him returning the ball.
It's because they usually guess right. And he's not the returner, but he's there. He's one of the two guys that are potentially there to field the kick. He's been there all year. Probably has a couple of kick returns. Now, you can question the Berrios and Jalen Knoll, and then Damian Pierce is like a healthy and active most games, but then if there's enough players hurt, then he gets to play.
And he gets to do
kickoff return
it's
guy.
It's strange to me.
No, it is interesting. It is weird. My And look, I understand the fumble there, so everybody's going to be mad at that. I thought it was a good play by the coverage guy punching it out. Not an excuse, not acceptable. I get it. My concern with the special team is more about, or maybe not concern, maybe disdain is the proper word to use here, is more about the kickoff coverage.
Yeah, I agree.
And even punt coverage. Like, you're just giving field position away.
You're making it much harder for your defense.
Yeah, and then you have the best defense in the NFL. So, like, this is where the complimentary football buzzword always comes into play. Like, what is the strength of the Houston Texans? It's their defense. Mm-hmm. So, hey, like, special teams, like, maybe be good in kickoff coverage to give them a, you know, a longer field to work with. Hey, offense, maybe don't give, you know, cough up the football and put your defense on a short field where they're already starting in your own territory. Sometimes it's okay to punt unless you can't cover the punt and the other team runs it back for a touchdown. But yeah, lots. Well, look, we'll probably do. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat tomorrow. But there's lots to get. You know, a lot of culture win, Joe. Like you
culture
said,
culture win.
I think from a big picture perspective, my takeaway from yesterday's game is you saved the season for a moment. Mm-hmm. Because if you were three games back in the AFC and you did not have the tiebreaker, your season's over. You're 3.5 games back. Your tough part of your schedule is about to come up after Tennessee. The season's over. But you win the game, and then that 3.5 game deficit turns into a 1-game deficit where you can still get the tiebreaker over Jacksonville. Okay, we got some significant football games coming up. Whereas if you lost yesterday, that's not the case. We're talking about draft position and draft prospects.
Especially with the way that some of the league shook out around you this weekend. I think it adds to the Texans' win with the way that Buffalo played, with the way that Daniel Jones played in the Colts' victory. Everything feels a little more alive because of this game for at least one more week. And it should be for the next 2 weeks before you head into that Thursday night game with the Bills. Like, you should be able to get to 6-5 if you beat Buffalo on Thursday Night Football in a week and a half.
I feel like that's a big if.
They played pretty bad this weekend.
Who, gun to your head, who are you picking to win a football game right now, Houston or Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Right?
But not
that's
by
a massive
but
if.
I don't feel very confident in that with the way they're playing right now.
If you were handicapping that game right now,
it should be like 4.5.
Okay, I feel like that's fair. But that's still significant.
Yeah, it's still a big number.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel confident they're going to win that game.
No, but this week allows you to be in position to where in a week and a half, you could have a chance to go 6-5 on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and like, you
that's
should.
What, that's what this frankly. Week. That's what this weekend did. It left you hope, not just for the division, but for the playoff rates as the Bills struggle and other teams in the AFC struggle. Like, you've given your season hope again because Davis Mills pulled off a miracle in the fourth quarter with a little bit of help.
Checking to see if this book had a week 11 odds yet. No, they have to win this week, though, because if you don't win this week, then you pretty much everything you just did is forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this game. Like, you should win it. It's the stinking Titans. You should, you know, roll out of bed in Nashville. You should be going to the Bluebird Cafe on a Saturday night and rolling out of bed hungover after too much Higgins Boat rum, and you should still be able to win that football game. But there's a lot of pressure on that game because you could just totally, totally unhook everything you just accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, look, how were the first three quarters against the Titans the last time you played them?
Wasn't good. How were the first three quarters yesterday?
They weren't good.
They're good.
Fourth quarter team.
Fourth quarter culture.
Cardiac Texans.
Cardiac Mills. Fourth quarter football team.
Let's get into Davis Mills. What we saw from Davis Mills yesterday, I've seen so much overreaction on Davis Mills. But no, we love what Davis Mills did yesterday. Saved the day, maybe the season. Question here is, not if I don't want to do the whole quarterback controversy thing, but do you give Davis Mills one more week? Like, we don't know where Stroud's going to be in the concussion protocol. DeMeco said today he's still in it, which isn't a surprise. We don't know where he's going to be by the end of the week. You mentioned the Bills game, which comes up that next Thursday. It's a short week after the Tennessee game. Do you give Davis Mills one more week? 713-780-3776. You can watch us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok. He's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter as well at ESPN 975. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Do you give the long neck one more week? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975, ESPN 925.
Right now, the average new vehicle, it costs nearly $48,000, doubling since 2010 and far outpacing wage growth. Affordability for buying a new car is a real problem. To cope, banks are stretching out their loans to 84 months, 69 months, over one in five loans today last 7 years. That's not auto financing. It's turning your car into a second mortgage. That's where D&M Leasing comes in. They're here to solve the payment problem. They've got the easy lease going right now. It's no money down, lower monthly payments, flexible terms that make sense for real people with real issues just trying to get into a car. They, again, no monthly payments until 2026. The process is simple. You go to their website, dmautoleasing.com, or you can call 713-290-1000. And all you have to do is start the process, find the car you want. So if you already know what car you want, it's even simpler. You just go in there, you select it, you put in your information. Someone's going to call you, and you start the process to get your loan set up right now. Again, no payments till 2026. And when you get your car, they will bring it to you, your house, your work, whatever you need. When it's time to get a new car, do it at D&M Leasing.
This is my song for Davis Mills. Because he never broke my heart. It had nothing to do with the size of the beer. It had nothing to do with the what's holding the beer.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the fact that he ain't never broke my heart.
The long neck?
Ah, that's you, Joe. You said that. I didn't say that.
I mean, you just paused perfectly.
What are you talking about?
As it was about to song again.
No, it had nothing to do with the long neck. It has everything to do with he ain't ever broke my heart.
Never broke your
Davis
heart.
Davis Mills. No, he's never ain't
that's
ever
true.
Broke my heart.
Never.
I knew.
Got
whenever,
second pick.
I knew whenever he won the football game over the Colts that they were going to get the better quarterback at 2-1.
Yeah,
I knew they were going to do that. I knew that they were going to trade up for Will Anderson, who's a dynamic player for that defense.
True.
I knew that. That's why Davis. This is why I like the song for Davis Mills. It's because he ain't never broke my heart. It's nothing to do with the long neck ice cold beer. Nothing to do with that part.
None of that.
No. But what'd you think of Davis Mills yesterday? Look at the numbers on Davis Mills, Joe, of what people like to do. 27-45, which is 60%. 292 yards. We kind of forget the 50-yard Hail Mary at the end of the first half. I've noticed people are like, oh, he's the first quarterback to throw for 292 yards since Stroud did it. But Stroud has only done it once in like the first whatever. Okay, we had 50 yards on one throw.
Yep.
That was garbage time into first half. Hail Mary that fell 15 yards short.
That's the important part of the play.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of on his back foot, had pressure in front of him. I'm not really blaming him. And then you had like a penalty, I think. On
that
the previous
backwards.
Play that
think,
moved you back and took you out of any sort of chance of heaving it up to the end zone. But it's just funny. We see the 292. Davis Mills threw for 292 yards. Yes, you're right, but context matters. But anyways, two touchdowns, had the rushing touchdown, did throw a pick, first series of the game, actually. I think I counted five more near picks from Davis Mills. 84-7 QB rating. What did you think of the long neck ice cold beer?
I thought he was okay in the first three quarters. It wasn't a disaster all the time, but there was disaster level throws that he was making in this game. And then there was other throws throughout the first three quarters that were very good. And then he turned it on in the fourth quarter and was collectively better. But even in the fourth quarter, like there was times where I'm like, how is this guy going to get you down the field to win this game?
Yeah.
Everything felt like a chore to accomplish things. You know, you have two incompletions and then the big third down catch to Dalton Schultz when you're backed up there in the fourth. So he got the job done, but it was everything you'd want from a backup and more.
Yeah.
So it was a good day for Davis Mills.
That's pretty much where I'm at with Davis. Like my take on Davis, because I have seen some radicals saying, like, is this like worthy of having the conversation? My take is that Davis Mills cemented the idea that he's fine making $7 million as a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. I always want a backup quarterback to be able to go to 1-1. Like I want him to go 500. It's a better way of saying that. I want him to go 500 in the games that they start as the understudy fill in for the starting quarterback who is injured. And he's already accomplished that. Like maybe he goes 1-0. Maybe he beats the Titans and is 2-0. Maybe he loses to the Titans and he's 1-1, which would feel really bad. But at the same time, it is 500 winning percentage for a backup quarterback. So I think it cemented the idea that it's okay that he makes $7 million. I think it cemented the idea that you trust him to win a game. You know, if things go right, your defense plays well. The entire conversation about, like, hey, what are we thinking about him as the QB1 is flat out ridiculous. And I've seen some people talking about that. The what I would say about his performance is I do think the numbers probably are better than the tape here. He made a lot of really good throws. The little crossing throw to Dalton Schultz on the third down that you mentioned when they were backed up, that was a beautiful throw. He had another one like that earlier in the game that Schultz flat out dropped, too. Like, he made that throw twice. I thought the throw to Higgins was a good throw. I thought he had a good connection with Nico Collins, a little back shoulder stuff. The two-point conversion was an unbelievable grab by Nico Collins. But I thought that he made some good throws. I thought he made some bad throws, the interception, obviously. But I counted four or five more passes that very well could have been interceptions that fortunately were not. I'm not going to go, like, pick on the guy and, like, watch the All-22 and post them all. But I thought that his performance was – I thought that his performance wasn't as good as the stat line, and I thought that there was a lot out there that could have went – poor for him.
Yeah, I think the other one I would point out to was the rollout to the when he found Noel coming across the middle was a really nice ball that he had. He was also taking advantage of some of the talent that was around him in this game. Like, he trusted his guys. You know, the one catch from Higgins where he kind of got upended a little bit, that's a high ball. Like, I don't know if I would consider that a good pass or not. It's caught, it's completed, but it's kind of putting your wide receiver in a lot of danger as you throw it there. So he showed, you're right, he's worth the contract that he got. He did what he's supposed to. It looks like he's grown since the last time we saw him.
Way, Joe?
I think he just had better command
of
this offense in general. Like, he didn't look shaky out there for the first time. It just outlook from last week to this week, it looked much better collectively. So he did his job. He was good. And yeah. I think anyone wanting to have a conversation past that, stupid.
Some people are talking about it. Look at this junkie texting it right here. The starting quarterback is not 500. Cool. Davis Mills wouldn't be 500 if he started every single game either. I had a buddy ask me this yesterday. What would Davis Mills' record be if he started every single game? What would the Texans' record be if Davis Mills started every game? They're 4-5 right now.
2-7?
I think they would be 3-6. I think they'd be 3-6 if he started every game. They're not winning any game that they lost. Like, they're not winning the Rams game with Davis Mills. They're not winning the Bucks game with Davis Mills. They're not winning the first Jags game with Davis Mills. But do I think Davis Mills beats the Titans in a game you won 26-0? Yeah.
Yeah, because the Titans had nothing.
Do I think the Texans go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens? Yeah, maybe not 44-10, but they beat the Ravens. Do I think he's the difference in a win against Seattle? No. Do I think that they beat the Niners with Davis Mills? Nope. I do not. We forget that C.J. Stroud was the AFC Player of the Week against the 49ers that week. They don't win the game against San Francisco with Davis Mills. We saw Davis Mills for three quarters of the Broncos game, did not win it. And I think C.J. Stroud would have won yesterday's game. I think they would be 3-6 if Davis Mills started every game.
That's fair. I forgot about the Ravens and Titans game for a second there. So 3 wins is the right spot to have it. So, yeah, they're a little worse than they are right now. But Davis Mills, he did the job yesterday.
Did the job.
And I would expect him to win this weekend.
So you give them one more week.
Yeah.
You have the short week following the Titans.
I would.
I would, too.
Because you don't need them.
You shouldn't.
You don't need them.
You should. Now, here's the issue that could come up, though, is if they beat Tennessee and they look pretty good, like let's say they win 24-13 or whatever, and then Stroud comes back for that Thursday nighter against Buffalo and plays poorly, you're opening up a can of worms in terms of narrative and conversation.
You're right, yeah.
But you shouldn't worry about that as a team, though, in my opinion.
No, the team can't worry about that. I also would want to know a little bit about his elbow.
Yeah, it's his left elbow.
I know, but like it's, how's he feeling? Like, I guess, like, if he is not, if you're not confident that, like, one hit's going to take him out of the game, maybe you start Stroud just because I don't want to see Graham Mertz have to come in.
Why couldn't you have Stroud as a healthy backup?
We don't see that ever happen. I mean, you could.
If your concern is Graham Mertz playing, but you also want to prevent Stroud from playing 2 weeks and he's cleared the protocol.
That would just be so strange.
You see it every now and then.
To see Stroud be the backup quarterback just for a game.
I mean.
But I mean, I would give him another week. Like, as long as the elbow's fine.
I don't understand why you're so concerned about the left elbow.
Well, we don't know what the injury is.
It's a left elbow.
Yeah, but if it hurts, it hurts.
It's his left elbow.
Yeah, but if it could hurt him enough to take him out of the game.
What kind of injury are we talking about here?
I mean, Jaden Daniels is out with a left elbow. Why can't he play right now?
Dislocated.
He's fine.
It was bending in two different directions.
We don't know what it is. He had to put a sleeve on. Is it hurt or is it just a fashion accessory? What is it?
I'm very, I guess, weirded out about the left injury.
I just want to make sure he's okay. As long as he's okay, then he can start.
Like, well, how severe does it have to be where he's not starting?
If he thinks one hit could take him out of a game?
I mean, he dove into the end zone.
That's true.
He wasn't concerned about it then.
That's true. So then he should be fine.
Is Davis Mills your nephew? Like, no. Why are we so concerned about his left elbow?
I just don't want Graham to play. No offense, Graham.
I mean, you could not play Graham. The big thing here is if Stroud clears the protocol,
sure.
Which we don't know that's going to happen. We have no idea. The last time Stroud was concussed, he did miss 2 games. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I don't know how we can grade degrees of concussions without knowing the information, without taking looks at the scans. But they were pretty similar plays, how he got concussed 2 years ago against New York and then against Denver the other day.
When you have three guys in the concussion protocol right now, you could see 1, 3, none come back this week, and they're all in different timelines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just, regardless, as long as I'm totally fine with giving Davis Mills one more week. The Titans are terrible.
Yeah, I would go one more week. If even if he cleared the protocol, I'm going one more week. I don't hate your idea. What it wasn't your idea, but it was like it was able to like get us there. Look, if Stroud clears the protocol and you just don't want to see Graham Mertz, but you also don't want to play him that quickly, I have no issue with Stroud being a backup for a week.
Yeah, just give him a little extra time.
Yeah, and then you're very clear, like, hey, you know, he's cleared the protocol, everything's fine, we're trying to buy another week, we really don't want to play him.
Kind of like what we're
seeing. He'll be back Thursday against Buffalo unless he's needed Sunday.
I mean, we're seeing that happen. He's not being active every week, but we're seeing that happen right now in San Francisco with Brock Purdy, where Kyle Shanahan said again after yesterday's game, like, yeah, he's almost there, but we're just kind of giving some time because they're getting a good enough performance from Mac Jones that they don't feel the need to put in Brock Purdy. It doesn't really elevate their ceiling right now, and they're protecting their quarterback. So you're playing the Titans. They scored 0 points against you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not – I would – see, this text says let them have it the rest of the season. Come on! Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that with Davis Mills? Why are people having this conversation, Joe?
I don't
like this other text. Maybe we'll hit this on the other side. Would this season's version of CJ Stroud been able to make that comeback yesterday? Nope. He would have been in his own head down 19 points in the fourth. Would Stroud have made that comeback yesterday? Also, how the Texans drew inspiration to win yesterday's game. Joe mentioned the buzzword culture earlier, and D'Amico did something this week. He showed the guys something this week, Joe, that led them to a victory because of culture, because of mentality, because of grit.
713. Never quit.
It may or may not have been team owner CEO Cal McNair. May or may not have been.
It's always fun to win.
713. He threw a party yesterday. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what they call me sometimes? They call me the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Is that accurate?
It is. Because I go into the red on occasion. 713-780-3776. We get to the motivational tactics that one D'Amico Ryans, a great leader, has always been, got to get the Texans to come from behind and outscore the Jags yesterday in the fourth quarter. 26-0? That's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. Sheldon Rankin's touchdown at the end, which is kind of hilarious. Big man touchdown.
Especially we all love the Texans defense and fantasy. That was a great little extra bonus. Yeah,
here comes fantasy talk featuring Brian McDonald. You know how many people care about your fantasy team? Nobody. Nobody.
All right, let's flip it to betting. I mean, how many people did that bet their Texans minus 1.5 for?
That would not many, though, because the line moved pretty quickly.
Because it
closed at 1.5, right?
Jags.
No.
True.
Who?
It closed Texans?
Closed Texans.
Whenever we played it on the six-pack or whatever we do, it was
the fix.
Whenever we played on the fix.
Yeah, it closed 1.5.
It swung back to the
Well,
Texans?
at least at LaBerge.
Okay, I didn't realize that. My bad, Brian.
So, yeah, it was going back and forth.
Can you imagine, though, you have Texans minus 1.5? You think you lose it because they go for 2, and then you get it because of Rankin's rumbling and stumbling.
That dude almost got to the football, too. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
that
he almost, was it BB back in the day in the Cowboys Super Bowl? He almost
Don
pulled
BB to Leon Lett. Got back to it. Reed Sheppard had a play like that yesterday in the basketball game. We'll talk about the Rockets a little bit later. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Gary, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. Thanks for God taking my call. Hey, let Mills play the rest of the season. He only has the Colts, the Bills, Colts twice, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Raiders. If Mills starts the rest of the season, he wins one game, and that's against the Cardinals. If he starts one game.
You don't think he beats the Titans? What about the Titans on Sunday?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Let me correct myself. 2 games.
Give that man some credit. What about the Raiders? What about the Raiders, Gary?
Hey, I said 2 games.
Yeah, but you said 1 at first.
No, not all 3. No, I know. But you corrected me. But guess what? When you play at 3 mediocre teams, 1 is typically a loss. And Mills is a backup for a reason. And Mills had his time in the limelight, and then not this show, but I can remember when he was starting several years or so ago, people calling for his head, too. It doesn't get any better. At the end of the day, I think if Stroud is ready, start him so he can get a rep. Consider it a JV game warm-up against the Titans, but to get his timing back down, to get his faculties all back in. Again. So if you're going to go on this stretch run, he needs to start live bullets as soon as he is released. Because you got a healthy schedule twice against the Colts, and you're still up for, I don't know if they can win the division or not, but with him, you win 4 or 5 of those games, maybe. With Mills, maybe 2.
Appreciate you, Gary. Appreciate the call.
I,
I think it's a valid point.
I agree with him.
I agree, but
I don't know if I agree with playing them Thursday or against the Titans, but I agree with the amount of victories.
Yeah.
Once we got them right.
Yeah. I would imagine DeMeco's going to play CJ though if he's healthy.
I think they'll play CJ the moment that he clears the protocol. Yeah. Like he's our quarterback. The moment he's cleared, he's our guy. But I do think there's a chance he doesn't clear.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, we see players sometimes they're down for less than a week. Sometimes they're out for 3 weeks. So it's impossible to know how long it's going to take him to clear protocol. There's a possibility he's not cleared for the Bills game.
I guess anything's possible, Joe. Anything's possible. I think he'd be back for the Bills game, though.
If it was a Sunday game, I'd feel like fully confident. But because it's a Thursday, it's one of those where it's like,
yeah.
If he doesn't clear for this weekend, it's only you only have a 3-day window in which you have to practice. You have to participate in practice is the final step to clearing protocol.
I do think the Thursday. You're right about the short week.
Yeah.
It does throw a wrench into things. No argument there. I do think though that it's the Thursday game changes the rules to where now it's an estimated where he would be an estimated
right.
participation in practice, because I think there's been guys who actually like cleared the concussion protocol, where there's actually been some like questioning of whether they should or not, mm-hmm. because they estimate he could have practiced without actually having the practice because the Thursday has that weird technicality in it. Not that the Texans would take advantage of that. And yes, having fewer days to get back should, in theory, limit the chances of you returning. But I think it's enough time. Like you're talking about 2.5 weeks at that point.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it should be. I think CJ would have had a better game than Mills yesterday because the O line played pretty well. CJ is great when he has time. Did hold up. We'll get to the line in a little bit. Let Mills have the rest of the season. Get out of here. Left elbow injury on a non-throwing arm is extremely volatile and dangerous. Hello, Joe. Answer this question. Would CJ have been able to make the comeback yesterday? So what do you think on that? Do you think CJ would have been able to make the comeback yesterday?
Okay, so everything that's happened in the first three quarters is the same situation for CJ Stroud. Then I'll say yes.
Yeah, I think it makes it.
I just also don't think you're in that position.
Right.
If CJ Stroud's your quarterback.
I don't either.
You have more, you have one or two better drives in you that it's a more obtainable comeback in the fourth quarter. You're maybe not having the disastrous interception that Davis Mills had on the first drive. So I think the Texans win yesterday regardless.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I look, CJ Stroud's the better player. Like, he's a better player. He's better than Davis Mills. Anybody who thinks differently, I question whether or not you know ball. And something that Gary said that reminded me, I think I did call for Davis Mills' head back in the day, but I didn't call for him to be benched because those teams didn't matter. They're irrelevant. So, like, I never trusted Davis Mills to be a starter in the NFL. The first 2 years when we saw him play, I was like, yeah, this guy doesn't got it. He needs more time to develop, mature, all those things. Yeah, I hear you on that. But he's not a starter in a winning playoff team, a caliber team in the NFL. So I wasn't calling for his head, but I didn't think he'd be a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. And I still don't.
And look, I'm thankful for Money Mills making that comeback for many reasons. But if you're going to point to, well, could CJ have led the Texans on that same comeback? You also have to ask the question, well, would the Texans have beat the Broncos the week prior had CJ never gotten hurt? Like, I mean, let's not forget the second half that the Mills had against the Broncos. Of course, way better defense. But they did nothing in the second half last week against the Broncos and turned what looked like could have been a win into a loss. So it's 1 week. The overreaction's crazy if you think Mills needs to start over Stroud.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. Did you see what the Texans created some motivation with, by the way, after the game? DeMeco was talking about this?
No.
Danny Williams, former boxer. He was a European guy, Englishman. I think he was like the British world champion at some point.
Okay.
He beat Mark Potter. Story here is that Danny Williams like broke his right – no, he didn't break his right arm. He dislocated his right shoulder earlier in the fight, which that's kind of a weird boxing injury. But he dislocated his shoulder early in the fight, can only fight left-handed. And we're like, oh, he's fighting one arm. They need to throw in the towel. And then this happened.
Williams has it down again. It's over! It's over! Unbelievable stuff here at Wembley. Danny Williams fighting on instinct and bravery with one arm has won the British heavyweight title at the second attempt and retained his Commonwealth belt in one of the most bizarre fights I have ever seen.
There you go. That's where the Texans inspired inspiration or got inspiration from. This was a baby of Mikato Henson. who is the team chaplain for the Houston Texans. Used to be at the University of Houston.
I do not know.
Mikado Hinson's the best team chaplain that exists on planet Earth, and he should be. He
should
have got a game ball
fish.
Yesterday. No, he replaced that guy. He should have got Mikado Hinson should have got a game ball for finding the story in Britain where Danny Williams in 2000 and whatever this was, early 2000s, he separated his shoulder and knocked out a dude left-handed. And Mikado finds this, and that's the reason that Davis Mills had his moment. That's the reason the Texans came back from a 16-point deficit.
Yep.
Mikado Hinson should be in the Wall of Fame. He's had more sway. He's had more sway in this organization than Janis McNair. He should be in the Ring of Honor, Mikado over Janis McNair. What has Janis McNair done for this organization?
Taking shots at Janis?
Janis handed over the team to the wrong son.
He taking shots at Janis today?
What has she done?
It's a little sexist to ask that question.
She brought the team home.
I didn't realize I was going to go there.
I didn't know you were either.
No, go ahead and dial that telltale.
Anyways, you want to know another little bit of Danny Williams trivia?
Sure.
He beat Mike Tyson.
Oh, really?
Danny Williams beat Mike Tyson.
This is late 90s.
Brian, let me finish the story. Stop interrupting talent. He beat Mike Tyson. It was a second-to-last fight in his career. So it was like an aging, old, shell of himself, Mike Tyson. He got beat by Danny Williams, and then Mike Tyson's career ended with a loss to Kevin McBride. That's my favorite drop. Thank you for adding that to the mix. Yeah, so Mikado Hinson, shout out to the fish.
Shout out to the fish.
All right.
What is happening?
713-780-3776. What did I do wrong? I just wanted to get a little Danny Williams. That's the reason they won yesterday. Ask anybody. That's the reason that they won.
A one-armed British boxer.
Whatever it takes.
Because Mikado Hinson found this sucker. Look at that, man. That's football. That's football. All right, what do we think of these offensive line musical chairs? It's a conversation that must be had, even though people don't want to have it. Offensive line musical chairs, what is going on with the Texans in their front five? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Whoever the next starting quarterback is, I hope they decide it early in the week. I think Mills does much better when he knows he's the starter and they can game plan for him versus coming in the middle of the game like a relief pitcher. Certainly more optimal scenario. That's a good point, too, I guess you wouldn't know if a guy's out of the concussion protocol with a full week until Thursday?
Yeah.
Because you need a full day of practice. They won't practice today. They'll be there, but they'll be reviewing the film off day tomorrow.
I mean, positives is that it's the Titans. So CJ's pretty well versed in the Tennessee Titans at this point.
We keeping a book right now, we ask.
Exactly. So, you have Davis Mills, prepare him like the starter, and then if CJ is cleared, you'll be fine. He'll be good to go.
I love how everybody hears that Cam Ward drop, and everybody's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's true. He was right.
He's right. But I think it's a decent point. Like, as soon as you start preparing for Tennessee, which will be Wednesday, they have an idea of who the starter will be. I do agree with that. Yesterday's quarterback play was the best we had all year, hands down. CJ Stroud was literally the AFC player of the week 2 weeks ago. Like, why? Do we have that short term of memories, guys?
Yes. We do. They do.
And Mills wasn't that good yesterday. Like, you are going to motivate me to
point
out all of Davis Mills.
You going to buzzkill?
No, I've already kind of buzzkilled, I think. But I was I was having the dialogue with myself earlier today on my walk. Because I watched the condensed game back this morning. It's my Monday routine. I wake up, make myself a pot of coffee. I start drinking the entire pot of coffee, and I'll watch the condensed game. First thing I do Monday, and then I'll read all the commentary, listen to the presser stuff, all that. And watching the game back, I'm sitting there counting the times that Davis Mills threw a near interception. Do you remember that pass in the end zone where it looked like he was looking for Dalton Schultz? Well, I don't know if he was looking for Dalton Schultz in the corner, but Dalton Schultz was running to the corner, and like he almost hit the goalpost. Mm-hmm. It's like, and there were two jags between him and Dalton Schultz, between the pass and Dalton Schultz. There was the batted ball that was hanging up in the air that he tried to force into traffic. There was literally the interception in the first. I mean, there were some near picks in that game yesterday. And I don't want, after Davis Mills had his moment, to sit there and nitpick him like that. I don't really want to be that guy. But some of you are kind of forcing me to be.
Yeah, look, he was like, it was like 1 for 3. Everything felt to me like it was like one good throw for two throws that were either bad or mediocre at best. He did his job in this game. If you want CJ Stroud to be the backup quarterback now for Davis Mills, like I don't know. I don't know. You're Twitch trolls, get them. They make sense. Everyone else, don't get it. And like, look back to that last drive. Go watch, rewatch the first two plays of the drive to make it 30-29 and how bad those passes were. That first, like, one step back.
Oh, yeah.
To Nico. What was that play?
He threw one to Davis. Or he threw one to Woody Marks. We missed him by, like, 3 yards.
Yeah.
He's, like, wide open.
But it's, like, his first two plays of that drive were awful. No. And then he had the big completion to Schultz for 20 yards. So it's, like, it just.
And?
Up and down.
Like, I get he had his moment. The fourth quarter was tremendous. He was really bad for three quarters.
Yes.
Like, he was pretty bad for three quarters of football. If you think that Davis Mills is in the same conversation as C.J. Stroud, you don't know ball. You don't know ball. C.J.'s much better, but also more defeatist in my checkout in the fourth. Why do we have that thought on C.J.? Just because he pouts? Because he's got resting C.J. face?
I just would love some evidence of that. Because, like what do you have that what says that about C.J. Stroud? And I want to come off as, like, a super defender because there's been, I think, a lot to be unhappy with this year. But, like, And I don't want to do a moral victory thing for him, but he led the Texans into multiple field positions to win games this year where they lost, and it wasn't his fault. He did it in week one. He did it against the Buccaneers. He did it against the Jags when Nico fumbled. Like, he put his team in position multiple times to win these games, and guys around him let him down.
He's also had 5 game-winning drives in his career.
Yeah.
So it's not like he hasn't had these moments. Now, 19-point comeback, that was the biggest in franchise history. Like, that was different ballpark. I thought 19 in the fourth quarter was tops in franchise history.
Oh, well, maybe in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Brian's in here correcting me. Doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, the biggest comeback was 21 against the Chargers.
Did I say biggest comeback?
Well, did I say biggest comeback?
No.
What I put up to you did, and then the rest of the sentence
I said
came out.
Biggest fourth quarter comeback, Brian. Thank you for correcting me and not knowing what I was saying.
Check for Jerry.
5 game-winning drives for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, so you can. There's
he's
a lot,
had moments.
Yeah, there's a lot to criticize C.J. about. That's fine. The shutting down in the fourth quarter would not be one of them.
People like see him get like pouty on the sidelines in a blowout, and like, oh, this guy doesn't have it. Yeah. Well, the proof says otherwise. They see him cry over Tank Dell and Brevin Jordan. They're like, oh, he's too soft because he's crying and he's showing emotion. 2025, baby, we all show emotion. But he had the game-winning drive against Tampa's rookie year, Cincinnati his rookie year, Indy's rookie year, and then last year he had game-winning drives against Jacksonville and Buffalo, which Buffalo is usually pretty good in football. So that's I don't get that. I really don't. 713-780-3776. What has CJ done this year to say he'd bring us back? Joe just pointed to that. This is the beginning of the end for CJ. That is quite the take. You know what? I'm going to bookmark that one. Let's bookmark that one from 8497. See what, because it's not a bad take yet. It's not a bad take yet.
It's a bold take.
It's spicy.
Yeah. It's. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Yes, one more week. Another question. What if he throws for 4 touchdowns this week and then CJ plays horribly in Buffalo? Quarterback controversy. Wouldn't be for me, but it will be in the city.
Why?
Because, you know, fans are saying it's a quarterback controversy now. If he wins against Tennessee and then Stroud comes back and plays horribly, I mean, it's going to amplify times 100.
Once Tennessee, once Buffalo.
Right.
But
you're asking fanaticals to not be fanatical. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but like, why would anyone think that Davis Mills is the right answer?
Because he led a fourth quarter comeback yesterday.
The organization chose Case.
Which, correctly, by the way, go Cougs.
And they would have again if Case was here.
Facts, go Cougs.
I feel confident in that.
I mean, they picked Davis Mills to be the backup. They let Case go.
I think Case wanted to go elsewhere. What his chance to play?
Not really. He left.
He's a third-string quarterback. He doesn't play.
He left. He left his home city.
Yeah.
Where he lives permanently and owns businesses.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, his dear Cougars. And he's gonna go to that second most popular street in Chicago.
He's getting snowed on now instead.
Yeah. You're getting rage baited, Jeremy. Am I, though? I think they mean this.
I hope it's rage baiting. I hope it is.
I don't think it is, though.
No, I don't think it is either, but I hope it is. It's just a little part of me.
Some guy blogged me because I told him he was like, didn't know ball. Respectfully, over this.
I think if you want Davis Mills as the starting quarterback going forward, you don't know ball.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Try Death Wish Coffee. Okay, I might try that. Brought them back for their win. Did his job as backup. Jeremy is spicy today. Can't believe I'm siding with Brian, but he's right. You didn't say the fourth quarter part about the comeback until after your question. You pull the tape, Brian. Pull the tape. I'm being questioned by the texters. Can you hear me back there, Brian? Let's pull the tape. We'll play it a little
you
bit.
You said
fourth
quarter. My only point was I started putting up the two before you finished the sentence.
But this text is saying, can't believe I'm siding with Brian, but he's right. You didn't say the fourth quarter about the comeback until after he questioned you.
I think you were actually, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, Texter. You know what, Texter? Because you're wrong, you're banned for the rest of the show. You're out of here. You're banned for the rest of the show. Because I don't care that you side with Brian and disagree with me. I'm open for conversation. I like to talk to people who disagree with me. I think talking to people who agree with you all the time are very boring. So I'm not banning you for that. You're banned because you're wrong. So 4515, you can come back tomorrow. 713-780-3776. Guys, CJ sucks. You're in disbelief. Are we being rage baited there?
No, maybe people believe this.
Maybe they. See, that's what I'm starting to wonder. Like now, this is a different layer. We're peeling back even further layers of the onion.
But it's gonna be a small percentage, right?
It's the vocal minority. That's what they say, right? Here's the texter threw the red challenge flag on Brian and me, our disagreement earlier about the largest fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah.
So it's not like he hasn't had these moments. Now, 19-point comeback, that was the biggest in franchise history. Like, that was different ballpark segment. I thought 19 in the fourth quarter was tops in franchise history. I did say, you're right. Well, Brian didn't say anything yet. This texture said after he questioned you.
Well, maybe in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Brian's
quarter.
In here correcting me. Doesn't know he's that's borderline.
Do I need to run it back again?
It's borderline to how the text reads. I will concede defeat in our spat.
Thank you.
I thought I did say fourth quarter comeback. I did not.
I'm going to be honest. I thought you did too.
Yeah. So I need an apology from you as well.
I apologize.
All right, I apologize too.
I also heard you say fourth quarter comeback.
Did you selectively pull that out?
Yeah, did you pull too early?
No, it's from the SNL player.
Did you go back farther?
Did you go far enough back?
Why would I need to? That was where I corrected you.
Right, but if I would have said it earlier in the sentence.
I can go back further, but I don't think so.
Yeah, that came off. That sounded differently than it did in my head.
It's true. It's true.
I got red challenge flag. Texter, you're unbanned. My bad.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show. You can text for the remaining 2 hours of the program. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Yeah, we'll confirm on the SML, though. I thought I'd said it earlier. Maybe not, though. All right, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Mills, Stroud, the collective work of really Mikato Hinson yesterday for finding that video of the boxer. He's the reason the Texans won yesterday. But we'll also get to the offensive line, too. This mysterious musical chairs amongst the offensive line. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.